And right now, there's a standoff underway involving members of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe and their supporters and law enforcement in North Dakota. It's a dispute over a footbridge the protesters built, but the sheriff's department tore down on orders from the Army Corps of Engineers. This is the latest round in the ongoing protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline, which members of the tribe say will disturb sacred lands and pollute waterways. Meanwhile, a pipeline explosion in Shelby County, Alabama, that killed a worker when a track hoe hit a gas line, put another pipeline in the news for the second time. The Colonial Pipeline had a huge spill just months ago. The recent accident will disrupt the flow of gas to millions of people along the East Coast for a while. Pipelines. Why don't we hear about them till something goes wrong? Ewan Alexander is Dean of the School of Engineering at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Dr. Alexander, welcome.
Thank you.
You see this as what? I mean, a lot of people, environmentalists, see this as another reason not to construct more pipelines like the one in North Dakota. People in the industry, of course, see it as dollars, you know, flying into the air as it remains broken until Saturday the company says it might have it back together. How do you see it?
I think it's important for us to remember that pipelines that carry petroleum gas are as important as the electricity grid, our sewer networks, and so on, particularly for petroleum, because really, it's if you think about it, it's kind of the part of the lifeblood of the country. And regardless of your overall opinion about putting in more pipelines and so on, we rely very heavily in this country on distribution of petroleum products.
It's there, and we have to use it now. So tell us more about this pipeline, more than 5,000 miles long. Carries
yes.
a lot of gas.
It does. It has a daily average of about 100 million gallons of gasoline, home heating oil, aviation fuel, and other petroleum products. And it starts off in Texas and terminates in the port of New York and New Jersey. It travels through 11 states, and there are even branches to Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, it's had problems before. In 1996, a main line ruptured in South Carolina. A huge spillage then. It paid a record $34 million fine to the EPA because of environmental damage that several subsequent spills caused. And then just as recently as September 9th, there was a spill. We remember the huge lines at the pump then, a shortage of fuel in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, the southeastern states. What's your sense of the safety of the pipeline?
Well, I think that, as with most large-scale things, there's always some risk of things not going the way you want as they age. And, this is part of a major set of infrastructure of pipelines and electricity grid networks that deliver power and energy to us across the country that will suffer from aging infrastructure problems, despite the fact that efforts are made to maintain them. I mean, we talk a lot about resilience today of our infrastructure to disruption. And I think that that's recognized in the government in Washington, D.C., and, of course, by all major practitioners of energy transmission and power transmission, because it's the number one important thing for us.
I often think that I don't expect my refrigerator to last decades, but we do expect things like pipelines.
Yes, but should we? And certainly, the companies that operate them are obviously very aware of this. It's why they have crews working on them, maintaining them, and testing them. But if you consider, we have hundreds of thousands of miles of these pipelines. It's the same with train tracks. You can inspect them. It's difficult sometimes to predict where they're going to fail. And that's why you have maintenance crews, and that's why you have renewal programs and so on.
And in this case, it was a crew that actually hit a line, reportedly.
Yeah, that was very unfortunate. Yeah. That was very tragic.
Tragic. But it also seems to underscore the points of the protesters at the Standing Rock Reservation in North Dakota who say, a pipeline can rupture, will damage their land, maybe harm their drinking water if there's spillage. But on the other side, the company says it is safer than trucks and trains, which we've also seen terrible accidents there.
That's right. I mean, we have accidents on our highway. There are occasionally accidents on railroads for a variety of different reasons. And it's not an option for us to altogether stop transporting petroleum from point A to point B.
Yeah. This was human error, as you say, tragically. But as an engineer, what's the one thing that you worry about in the entire pipe system across the U.S. that many of us never think about?
Well, I think it goes back to my original point that pipelines and things like the electricity grid are of concern. We have major events like hurricanes that are often close to distribution systems for petroleum and electricity and so on. What kind of damage gets done? How long, how quickly is it, does it take you to bounce back from it? And it just goes back to the general question of resilience of our lifeline type infrastructure. We have a pretty sophisticated network of delivery of power in various forms, from liquid power and gasoline to electrons and electricity. And we don't think about it. We flick a switch, we expect the lights to go on. We go to a gas station, we expect to be able to fill up. And so we need to be cognizant of the fact that when you've got a pipeline system that's a certain age, we have to expect that occasionally there'll be things that won't work with it.
Ewan Alexander, Dean of the School of Engineering at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.